Good morning. I think you'll see what I mean in a minute, but PJ's trying to steal my thunder. But our sermon this morning is on joy. And Paul, let's just read the scripture, if you don't mind putting it up there in these broken, cursed screens. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19 and 20 in there. I can see it on the back screen if you turn your heads around, but of course there's a demon in these ones again. So let's just read in the scripture. It says in I'll start in verse 11. Now, see, the devil's trying to steal my joy right there, but he's not going to get it. Timmy's not going to get my joy. Good smile right there. Carl, you smiling this morning? Yes, good. Patrick, good man. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It'll come. It says this, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you." I'm in the wrong verses. Chapter 2, back up. Verse 17. Everybody with me? Okay. I'll start at verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. "But brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time," he's talking about the church in Thessalonica, because in Acts chapter 17, you'll see he spent 3 weeks there, and then persecution broke out, and they had to leave, and then he sent back to get word, and he got a good word. But this is now him writing a letter back to them. "When we were torn away from you for a short time in person, but not in thought, our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or our crown, in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy." Amen? So the topic for me, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he says it again. Philippians was like one of his last books. Thessalonians was like one of his first. But he says it again, that their joy and his joy and his crown was the people. So that's where I'm starting from this morning and finishing from. Is what was Paul's joy and crown, especially before the Lord one day, standing before God? It was people. It was the people that he had ministered to, that he had seen come to the Lord, that he had shared his life with, and his heart was with and knit together and tied together with. And, you know, I've said it, I've preached it so many times. What do we get to take to heaven if we're blessed is people. Take our children, take our grandchildren, take our great-grandchildren if we're blessed. Take those who he have shared Christ with. And one day, we will stand in heaven, and that will be our joy and our crown. You are our joy and our crown, if we make it to heaven. Hallelujah. No, it's like, and that's what I'm saying. He's trying to steal my thunder. He's calling people up here. They're thanking people. But that's what I'm going to do. And I got a list, and I've selected a few, because if I start down this road, it'll be too long, and I got to stick to my list. Is that okay? But I'm going to start with one, and I wasn't sure what I would do with this one, but I'm going to call Ken and Annette to come because they represent a whole generation here this morning. Come and stand with me, please. You're my sermon illustration. Yeah, give them a hand. Most of you know Ken and Annette. First of all, their daughter and son, Hank, the tank that you heard about earlier, and then their grandchildren, you know, Haley and Quinton, and then their great-grandchildren are here, part of the church. So they're an easy target for me this morning. But years ago, just bear with me. You're looking good, by the way. Thank you. Yeah, he's got new eyes. He's got cataracts taken out. He's got his blood is all perfect again. No, it's a long story. Don't confuse my sermon here. I get sidetracked too easily. Years ago, many moons ago, we did a funeral for a friend of ours, a pilot who was killed suddenly in Mwanza, Tanzania. And that's not about you guys. Okay. But Lori, at that time, sang a song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." And if you're old enough, you remember that song went around in every missionary service. Every time you had a church service, that song was sung. "I'm a Life That Was Changed." And she sang it at that funeral, and so it was like people thought she wrote that song because there was no music and she just sang it. And it was like, because you gave your life, because you prayed, because you served, I'm a life that was changed. And so I was thinking this week, because our Paul's subject is what creates joy for us is people, is that picture again, and I've used it, so forgive me, but I felt like God's in it this morning. Imagine one day, and it's not far away, we stand before Jesus. And we did Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. You did that for 400 years, and so did I. And we enacted that scene many, many times. But imagine the day when this couple is standing before Jesus, and he welcomes them. And there's so many scriptures that I could go to, but just play the game with me, if you will. And he just takes these two together and says, "Thank you. Because you prayed, Annette, because you were willing to go all over the world, leave your kids, leave family, Europe." I could start naming the cities. The first time we met you, I think, was in Poland or somewhere. Yes. Yeah. And led teams in the States and all over the place. Because you did that. Imagine we're in heaven now, and Jesus is standing here, and forget the tinsel and the mylar, the real deal.
The real one. Yeah.
And he says, "You know, because you did that, there's about 3 million people over here that want to say thanks."
Hallelujah.
Really?
That is so great.
And that's not even exaggerating. Yeah. I'm being cautious. Think of the lives that have been touched. And I know you've stood in altars and given amazing altar calls for people to come to Jesus. Thousands and thousands. We have been privileged to see that.
Yes.
You
yes.
have been privileged to see that. Amen. And then bring it down to a church. Bring it down to your family. Bring it down to the kids, the grandkids. You know, I know more than a crowd in Poland or Ukraine or wherever. One day, to stand with your grandkids and your great-grandkids and hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord."
That's it.
What else is there? Amen?
It'll be such joy, I'll be able to jump.
Yes. Woo-hoo. Come on.
There.
Amen.
Come
Bless on. These guys. Come on. Thank you. Love you guys.
Bless you.
Bless you. I could tell you many, many stories about this couple. Good stories. And the faithfulness. Let me stick to my script. The greatest joy for Paul was people. Greatest sorrow for Paul? People. So I got a couple examples. No. That's bad. You think of Paul and Timothy, and you think of Paul and Demas. You think of David and Jonathan. You think of David and Absalom. You think of these different ones. This week, we got text from Peter in Dar. And if I read it to you, I'd have to kill you. You know all that stuff. Just because I knew what I was speaking on, we wrote to him. Lori specifically, she's better at it than me. And thanked him, thanked them as a couple, and just said, you know, they're like the joy and the crown. I think back of Bible school days to a young couple. And so then they wrote us. And if we would read it to you this morning, it would bring tears to your wee newfie eyes. I mean, you would. It was amazing to hear their testimony about us and the encouragement that is to us. So what I was thinking, why do we always have to have these far away examples? So I have a few examples, and I'm going to, I don't see one here, maybe I'll see them. But Dan and Liz, would you just stand up and come here? Come on. See? You're trying to steal my thunder. Yeah, I'll have to send you a text. These guys, I don't know if you know, but it's, you know, you say, forget about snow. These are the bread people.
Best job ever.
Best job. No, but nobody sees, nobody cares, nobody looks. This just on a Tuesday, every second Tuesday of the week, they drive over to the Cobb's Bakery, they pick it all up, they bring it here to the church, put it in the freezer. They do it just faithfully serving the Lord. Amen? I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Seriously. Just because you do it. And you're good people. And you serve the house. And you just do it with joy. And I don't want to do that job. Never.
Behind the scenes.
Amen. So just stay here for a sec. This is where I had to stay with my list because it could get too big. Is Virginia here? Didn't see her today. But she cleans this church. And her niece and just how she does it, just amazing. I'm going to ask Brad and Kay and Ilary, and Matthew's not here, to just come if they're around. These are youth leaders. Another group of guys that nobody talks about much. I just want to say thank you. Pray for your youth when you see these guys, eh? No, and there's others, like Jonas, him and Penny led the youth for years. I don't know, Emily, come and stand here. That's where it gets dangerous, where you start missing names, and so I'm trying to stick to my list. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for caring. Really. This guy is my son-in-law. Good for nothing? No. How many years have you been involved in youth? Since the beginning?
Since the beginning, last 1 year.
So like 13 years? Something like that?
9 years?
Whatever. Yeah, I guess since the youth started. Yeah, 10 years. Pitiful little 10 years, that's it. But thank you. Seriously, thank you. Thank you for caring, and I mean that. And even if we just, you know, we're kind of making light of it or whatever, but without people, what do we got? Think about it. Stay here. Nicole, come here. I have it written here. These are the people that God put on my heart this week, so forgive me. But I'm doing it unashamedly. Nicole started this church. You don't know that. We sent her here 4 years before we came, and she rounded up all the recruits. But those of you who know, know. But I just, you know, one of my, anyhow. I just want to say thank you, Nicole, for being faithful to this house from the beginning. And those who know the stories, you know, there were some young adults that came. There was Carrie and Sue. There was different ones who were drawn to our old shag rug house. But the reason they had any connection at all is because Nicole was here studying and part of a church and just being a blessing, and God used you. And we just want to say thanks. Thank you. Amen. And now this one is going to be tougher, but we have Tasha, we have Carla, we have Haley. And I think Tasha, I see. Come. Carla?
Sick.
Sick? Oh. And Haley, I think, is gone already. She's teaching kids. The kids guys are the hardest ones to catch and get in public because they're gone. So what's the difference between Paul writing to the Thessalonians and Leonard Rutten standing in front of a church and just saying thank you? Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. kids, one day, families, people, youth, who knows what lives you've touched and blessed. And sometimes it's, you know, we think it's just the small things, it's just the, you know, and I appreciate what you said. You like to serve behind scenes. You like, it's like, I hope whatever it is that you're doing for the Lord is giving you joy. Because then you have that testimony of people and kids and lives and hearts that are encouraged because of what you do. Amen? So bless you. Thank you. Amen? Keep serving the Lord. That's all we can do. Amen. Thanks. You can go. Keep bringing that bread. So I would like you to put that first slide up, please. Brad had a joyometer. Here's my joyometer. The sad guy is Herman. I miss having Herman here. And the happy guy is, I hope you can see it, it's George and what's his name again? Russell and Helen. But that was their ordination service. But just, they to me represented, I was just on our Facebook page of the church. So I was grabbing some photos and people that bring joy to your life. And if you are on Facebook and you have the Enjoy Life Church Facebook app, just go through the pictures. Go back. Like, it's like watching your life go before your eyes. Just faithful, good, amazing stuff. So that's where I started. You can put up the next one. Can you see those? It was just out of our Facebook page. You'll see I show up in a few of them because I'm the one choosing the pictures. But it's my joy. Sorry. It's my joy. Paul said, my joy, my crown. But just what some of those pictures represent of people and the church building and the old blue quill. And next one. Yeah. More people. Our launch Sunday. The ladies. There's George and I finding joy. The life groups. Another one. More. Some of those pictures go back to South Africa. Back to the blue quill. I like this little guy in the bottom right, Caleb. Another one, another picture. This is our family, sorry. That's what brings joy to me. And then the last one is the real true joy. Yeah. You can just leave that one up there for a while. I wanted to spell it Rife, Enjoy Rife. Take that off. That breaks my heart, actually. The warm, sunny weather. Thanks. So, what am I trying to say here? I don't know. I'll stay with my sermon. We bring joy to one another, and we bring joy to the Lord with our lives and with our faithfulness. And I want to end with the Lord when I'm done here, just encouraging ourselves that it matters. It matters. Our lives matter as we serve the Lord. But Paul, in this book, when he's writing to them, he says, you are our joy. You are our joy and our crown. You people. And so in chapter 3, what causes joy is what I just want to go quickly through. And he just lists some things, and I'm hoping it'll encourage us today. I'm not going to necessarily read the verses, but you can go through. It's just chapter 3. It says, their faith and their love, and they remembered him kindly, verse 6. I like that one. That's what they did. They just remembered him kindly. They had sent, you know, to hear about them because he got chased away because of the persecution, and when he was concerned that they had fallen away or what's happened, brand new believers in a pagan country, pagan city, and they were faithful. And he got the report of their faithfulness, but also of their kindness to him. They remembered him kindly. That spoke to me that we should be encouraging one another. Amen? There's enough pain and sorrow going around that we should be encouraging one another. And that's verse 6. So verse 7 and 8, they were standing firm. They just stood firm. And then verse 8, he says, great joy from them. Stirred up that great joy in their lives. If you read verse 8 of chapter 3, just quickly it says, but Timothy just returned now. He's come and brought us good news about your faith and your love. He told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Amen? That's Paul's joy. They pleased God more and more, and they had brotherly love more and more, verses 9 and 10. So Paul's concern for them, he told them earlier on that they were destined for trials and they'd be persecuted. He said the tempter would come in verse 5, but he said their love would increase and they would be blameless and holy when Jesus returns. So that's Paul's testimony and challenge and encouragement to the people. And I bring that to you this morning. If we were looking at each other, talking to one another, just chatting with one another, it would be because you were faithful. I was saying to Ken and Annette, because you were faithful, think how many lives have been changed. Because you are kind, because you spoke a kind word, because you just were faithful to God, the kingdom of God is advancing, and the kingdom of God is going forward. Sometimes it's not the big, massive things. It's just they stood firm. They remembered him kindly. They were true to God. They were true to their faith. When I start thinking about those kind of examples right here in this building, we could be here all morning just to encourage each other in the faith of God. And when you think of us kindly. What other joy is there? Because there's enough pain out there and enough problems out there. And so this is how I want to close this morning. So you haven't even preached yet. That was my preach. Sorry. Get over it. You are my preach. That's the point I've been trying to make. But here's what I felt. And I was saying, God, give me courage, give me boldness. But I know that there are people who feel disqualified and unqualified. And the scriptures that I would love to go to, and I'm not going to, but we are his workmanship, created to display his glory. We are going to be like trophies of grace. You know, it's not biblical words, but that's where we'll be held up to show forth his amazing grace. And this is the line that kept going through my head, is I know, because I know myself, but I know there are people sitting here today, you think, no, I have disqualified. I am not fit for that one. And I want to tell you, sometimes I know too much, so then I'd rather preach this in some other place. But there's people sitting here today, men and women. How can I say this? But the very fact, the very reality of you sitting here today is proof of God's amazing goodness. Some of your stories, I don't even dare start. Lori and I have sat with some of the ladies in this house and heard your stories. And the fact that you're in your right mind You love God. You love your family. You love Jesus. It is an amazing, amazing testimony of God's goodness. Some of the stories, some of the lives, some of the, and I, you know, you say, well, that, I'm not fit. I'm not, that's actually the trophy of grace that we're talking about. That they were faithful, like Thessalonians, they were faithful. They got up in the morning. And I've used my son, Matthew, as examples over my life. And maybe I'll just back away from you, and he's not here today, so it's easier for me to talk about him. But so many times in his life growing up, he's had setbacks, he has challenges, he had fights, he's got issues, he's got mental health, he's got stuff in his life. And all my life, through his school years, through when he was younger, now he's grown, he's living his own life, but so many years in school, Lori and I, we prayed that some teacher, some youth leader, somebody would see the boy that we saw. And if you go back to South Africa days, the schools that he was in, that they would not just see a black boy. They would not just see a slower boy as far as the academics went, that they would see the kindest, amazingest kid that we saw. And I want to tell you this morning, I'm trying anything I can to get across to you the point that Jesus knows you intimately to the core of your soul, and he's shown his grace, and one day, all of us who are his workmanship, he's working in us. He's going to display us to the devil, to the world, to the enemy. Look at my grace. Look what I have done in lives. Look what I'm working in. And that's the only thing that gives me hope in my life and joy in my life. Not the only thing, but gives me joy is to know that God is working. No matter what I see, no matter what I think, no matter what I feel, God is working in our lives and in our homes and in our families. And I want to tell you, don't ever give up on anyone. God never has given up on anyone, never will. He calls us to himself. He's working in our lives. He loves us enough that he will not let us stay where we are. And he's going to work every last bit in us, perfecting that masterpiece. Amen? And so let him work. Let him have his way. And then I'm calling on all of us, to be like a Paul, to realize that you are our joy and our crown. We together, you know, and I wanted to share it in the prayer meeting, but what I felt was we are going to have communion. Communion is about Jesus and what he's done. But communion is also about us in communion, coming together, standing together, encouraging one another in the walk of God, no matter where we are in our walk, saying, keep walking, keep struggling through this life, keep fighting the good fight for Jesus. You have children that are wayward, pray for them. God would spare them, deliver them, never give up. You have loved ones, you have marriage, you have issues. Keep fighting the good fight, because in the end, that is truly our joy. And we, you know, we're in life group, and I hear Paulo's testimony. I don't want to start more stories and more people, but just the stuff that the world throws at you, life throws at you, situations throw at you, and to see people standing firm, that was Paul's joy. They stood firm. You are our joy. You are our crown before God one day. And It's way easier for me to go back to Tanzania. You know, on that last slide, you want to put up that last slide once more? I'm a little bit selfish. I had a lot of joy. But you see the pastor standing beside me? Peter. That's the pastor in Dar es Salaam. They're the ones that we wrote to this week, and they wrote back, and he was on a week prayer pilgrimage, and so they're praying for us, praying for this church, praying for us, praying that God would just touch and encourage our leaders and people and this house. So they're praying for us. But I'm telling you, they are the greatest joy to Lori and I. That it's hard to explain. Because if we ever feel like we are wrestling with something, we just think of Connie and Peter. Man, they are building a church in Dar es Salaam that's so amazing, but with nothing. What do we got to worry about, you know, compared to them? So I just want to encourage you this morning, and I'm going to let Peter, John, do what he wants, but if you are here today and you're wrestling with your worth in God, and you know, whatever that circumstance is, whatever picture the devil's given to you, could I just tell you that as a trophy of God's grace, he's the one that's saying, come, come, let me show you the goodness that I can give and that I can produce through your life. You say, yeah, but my life, yeah, it's nuts. No, that's not the point. The point is what God can do through our lives and in our hearts. Amen? And I'll end. We need to encourage each other. Encourage someone. Bless them. Pray for them. Do something. Talk to them. Thank them. Someone's encouraged you, send them a letter. Lori's way better at this than me. I suck at it, actually. I'm like, yeah. It's like, no, you need to phone them. And I'm like, yeah. So I phone, and then they're like, oh, thank you for the phone. I'm like, yeah, that's, you're welcome. It's good, yeah. I really encourage each other, especially as you see the day approaching. Amen? If you're disqualified, feel disqualified, it's the devil. He's a liar. And I like Brad's, all our guys are in Sunday school this morning, but we declare that's not the truth. That's not the end of the story. God has the final say in our life. And so when Paul writes to that little church, I think that was a secret. He only stayed there 3 weeks. Maybe I stayed a little too long. But you have to know, the greatest joy in a person's life is people. And the greatest challenge in a person's life is people. And I kind of equated it to divorce in marriage, you know. Jesus said you divorce because of the hardness of your heart. And so when someone hurts you, you build a callus, you build crusties around your heart to protect yourself. And in a sense, it protects you. But what it does for a wife or a husband, whoever it is in the marriage, it also shields you from real joy and real love and real life. And so God comes in there and he just messes with those calluses and those hard hearts and rips up fallow ground, and so that we can feel again, so you can live again. And so if someone's done you wrong in church, someone's done you wrong in life, you cannot close down. You cannot just shut down on people and say, okay, well, that's the end of it. Because what you're doing is shutting out life. You're shutting out people who are actually the joy of your life. And sometimes there's people like I'm like, that's not a lot of joy going on there. But it's like, no, I'm not, you know, if I think of people in my past that I felt done me wrong, and you want to do things, it's like, No, that I'm not going to let them make me into something that I'm not. I'm not going to allow that to make me into something I'm not. You know, and you know the stories of drinking the poison and hoping the other person will die. We do that. But then when we forgive and we release and we say, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust God. I still can get a lot of joy out of Jeremy, even though he's a hard guy. No! Sorry, Jeremy. Herman's not here anymore, so it's like, he was just so easy. But if I shut out Herman, you know, let me use Herman, because he's not here. You can write him and text him. There's times that guy, you don't know the frustration that he caused me. Let me tell you. But imagine I shut him out of my life. I'm talking about back in South Africa even. You don't know Herman like I know Herman. But imagine you allowed some whatever to rob that, and you think of the joy that that couple has been in our life and in this church for years and years and years. Amen? We would be robbed of that. If Lori allowed the pain that I've caused her to destroy our marriage, think of the joy. There is some joy that you would be missing. Yeah. That didn't quite go the way I was expecting it. But seriously, it's like, if we're going to get the real joy of God in this house, it comes from one another. It comes from the Lord. He's the only source of real joy. Amen? But then it's lived out with people and expressed and experienced, and we're commanded to rejoice in the Lord, to rejoice, to sing, to praise, and to allow people into our lives to encourage us and strengthen us and bless us. So that's the message. I'm going to invite the band to come. Pete, you can come. And if you need to be encouraged in that today, I want to encourage you, God will give you the strength to overcome these old wicked hearts of ours and say, God, show me someone, heal something in my life that I can just experience that joy of God again with people and with one another. Amen.